Heavenly Father, we come to your house today just to give you praise and worship and just to say thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the ultimate Christmas present in your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who you sent to earth last night to save our souls, to be our rock, our guide, the way, the truth, and the life. We're so happy that you did that. What a blessing in our lives, Lord. We just want to give you that thanks today and celebrate the arrival of our Savior Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for this chance to gather together today to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. I pray that you would be with us, that you would be in the remainder of the service. We thank you and we praise you so much for the gift of your life. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. You can be seated. It's quite an honor to be with you guys on Christmas morning. This does not happen very often. We were looking on the calendar last night, and the next time that this will happen will be 2033. I thought it would be every 7 or maybe 8 years, depending on how you do your math. But with the leap year thrown in, it totally changes things. And so that's why no pastors can remember what they did on Christmas, if they had service or not. So I want to thank you guys for coming out, for being with us. We're going to jump right into the third part of our Christmas series, and the title of today's sermon is Hope Delivered. And so far, we've looked at hope promised and hope expected, but there's not much to hope if it's only promised and expected. It's when hope is delivered that you get what you were hoping for. And so I said last night that Zacharias and Mary would see the physical reality of their hope. They would see their hope delivered, and I want us to look at them again today to see how this happened. So let's look at Zacharias. It says in Luke 1, 57 through 66. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Church, this is the deliverance that was promised to Zacharias. If you remember correctly, him and Elizabeth were well past the age of having children. And so when Gabriel came and told him, Zacharias says, "How will I know this? How will I know this has come to pass?" And because he questions Gabriel, he cannot speak. And so he can't even speak when his child is born. It's the eighth day, and then his tongue is loosed, and when he receives that deliverance of the promise, when it's actually delivered to him, he does something unique. He prophesies. And this prophecy is magnificent. You remember last night that Mary sang a song when Elizabeth met her, and this is close to that, but listen to these words. This is a man that held out hope that God would do what God said he would do. It says, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And I don't know about you, but that's absolutely beautiful. And so this morning, what we're celebrating is we're celebrating with Zacharias on the birth of John the Baptist, previous to this, because where would we be without him? We don't have time to go into everything that John the Baptist did and everything that he prepared for the way of the Lord, but suffice it to say, without John the Baptist, we would be hurting. He did something that only he could do because he was called by God. The beautiful part about this is that this is what hope does, is when Zacharias received the promise of his hope, it moved out of him. Because hope is never solitary. Hope is given, and then hope is shared. Hope is contagious. And so my prayer is that as we're gathered together on this very special Christmas morning, that hope would blossom in our hearts and that it would spill out of us into our families and out of our families into our community. Because church, without Jesus being born, we don't have a Savior. Like, we can talk about Easter, we can talk about the crucifixion, we can talk about all of that, but he first has to be born. And the Bible promised a forerunner before Christ, and that's John the Baptist. And so we see that Zacharias got exactly what the Lord said he would get. I want to look at Mary really quick, and we're going to look at her and her promise, the promise of her hope, and how that came to pass. In Luke 2, verses 1 through 7, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." I don't know about you, but this is not how I expected the Son of God to come. I did not expect him to come to a young lady, unmarried. I did not expect him to be born in a stable that is fit for animals but not fit for humans. I honestly would expect him to come wrapped in glory and power, with the whole heavenly host announcing his birth, with it being in a palace, with there being a crown placed on his head immediately once he was born. But that's not how it happened. His birth was a simple birth. But nevertheless, this child of God, this Son of God, humbled himself, came to earth, left his throne in heaven, was born among men that we might have the answer to our hope. And it's a beautiful thing. This birth is why we're here today. This birth is why we can have hope for his coming return. Because God has said and done, he's done everything that he said he would do. I cannot imagine how Mary and Joseph felt on this morning. Right? We talked about last night how scripture says that Mary is the woman who believed. And so this morning, she's holding her baby child. This morning, I'm pretty sure that everything that they went through, the shame, the questions, the controversy that would surround a young, unmarried woman being pregnant and telling everybody it's not from a man, it's from the Holy Spirit. I can imagine, I don't know if Bethlehem's anything like the town I grew up in, where everybody knew what you did before you did it. And no matter what you said, you weren't going to change your mind. But I can imagine humanity hasn't changed all that much. But I'm telling you, when they held their baby boy, all that was worth it. And so hope comes in ways we don't expect it to. And sometimes hope comes in the midst of our problems. And so I want to encourage you today to hold on to your hope. We saw Zacharias and Mary hold on to their hope, and look what God did for them. There's a third part, though, that more closely affects us, and that's the response to the birth of Jesus. In Luke 2, 8 through 20, we read the following. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, or with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. The response to the birth of Jesus is a heavenly host praising God. Glory to God in the highest. Right? And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. The shepherds witnessed this, and they traveled to find this babe in the manger. And the interesting thing is that it says that when they went, they found the child and his parents. And then on their way back, they are praising God, and they are glorifying God for all that they had heard and seen. But it says, as it was told them. Nothing was different. Nothing changed. What God said happened, happened. The proper response to the birth of Jesus is to glorify and praise the Lord. That's why we're here. But notice that again, they did so because it was just like it was told them. And church, the reason that we can praise today is because it's just like we've been told. Our story is no different than theirs. The birth of Jesus happened the exact way we've been told it happened. It's a beautiful thing. And so our response should be to bring praise and glory to God. In Matthew 2, 1 through 12, we read of another group of people that came to this child. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet.'" And notice he quotes an Old Testament prophet. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod, who had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring word back to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. These wise men traveled a long ways. Some, as Bishop Carey said a couple weeks ago, consider their journey to have been 2.5 to 3 years. I don't know about you, but that's a long ways to travel. That's a long time to travel on a couple scriptures out of the Old Testament and a star. Have you ever followed a star? They don't stay still. When you see one night, and especially in North Dakota, you don't know if you can even see them. And so this is a very committed group of men that went on this journey. I cannot imagine how much it cost them financially. I cannot imagine the time and dedication that it took. But these men were on a purpose to see this child, to see the promise of the scriptures come to pass. And when they get there, they worship. These men that had the money to do this, that brought these expensive and extravagant gifts, they didn't show up and tell Jesus how far they had traveled and what they had done and how much it cost them and how long it took them and that they were to be considered great because they brought him great gifts. They bowed down and worshiped a child. because they knew that this child was the promised Savior. They knew that this child was not a normal child. They knew that this child was the Son of God. And so they opened their treasures and they given to him, then they go on their way. And so we can see again that the proper response to the birth of Jesus is to worship him. There's a saying that says that wise men still seek him, and I agree with that. But I would add to that that wise men still seek him, and when they find him, they worship him. Wise men seek and wise men worship. We worship the one that was born into the world, the one that was born to be the sacrifice for sin, the one that lived the life that we could never live, the one that lived without sin, that walked a perfect life before God. And because he did so, he was the perfect lamb, the spotless lamb, the perfect sacrifice, the pure sacrifice. And so today we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And because of that, our hope remains intact and it remains strong. The hope that was promised became the hope that was expected, which became the hope that was delivered. And so I don't know where you sit today, but I know that one thing that the enemy would love to do is to kill hope. The promise of this Savior was given over 4,000 years before he was born. And for us, that was over 6,000 years ago. And yet it came to pass exactly as God said it would. Those that were told that the Lord would do something had to believe that he would do it. And he did it just as he said he would. That's why we're here today, because Jesus was born. Today we celebrate the birth of our Savior, but we celebrate the birth of hope. And because our Savior lives, our hope can live. And so as we get ready to partake of communion, I want to encourage you to celebrate the birth of Jesus as the birth of hope, but I want you to be encouraged to hold on to that hope for his return. Because God is not going to promise everything that has come to pass and have it come to pass and not the return of Jesus. And so we celebrate looking back at the birth of our Savior, but we live with hope looking forward to his return. Hope promised becomes hope expected, and hope expected becomes hope delivered. And so one day soon, whether we're alive or not, does not really matter to me. I promise you those skies will split open, and that baby that's born in that manger that is no longer a baby anymore will come. The promised hope that is our expected hope will become our delivered hope. And for that, we can celebrate today. So as we get ready to take communion, I want to pray over it first, but we'll just have everybody come up to the side, gather your elements. I ask that you hold them, and we'll partake together. But when is the last time you were able to take communion on Christmas? When is the last time that you got to think about the Lord's death on the day of his birth? And so this is not just little stale wafers and grape juice. This represents the body and the blood of Christ, the very gift that was given for you and I to have salvation, to have a right standing with God, to be able to come to him, to enter his presence, and to live with a hope that will not be extinguished. Amen. Heavenly Father God, I pray that as we get ready to partake of communion today, that Holy Spirit, you would right here, right now, just settle upon this place, over every heart, every mind. God, we partake of communion to remember the Lord's death until he comes. But on this day, we thank you for his birth. We thank you for his life. We thank you for his death. And we thank you for his resurrection. God, I ask that you would increase the hope of each person here to hold fast until you return, Jesus, to come gather us with you in the air, so that we will one day forever be with you. So as we enjoy your presence today, may it encourage us to hold on to hope till we can be with you face to face. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" You may eat the bread. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." You may drink the cup.
Father God, we just thank you for this day, this blessing, this glorious day to give you honor and glory for the miracle gift that you've given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior on this earth. Lord, I ask for blessings over each and every person that's here today and their families and their extended families, and safe travels for those who are coming and going over this Christmas season. Lord, just extend your blessings to all of our families as a good season. And as we go through our day today of having food and opening presents and fellowship with our families, help us to remember that you are here today for the saving of our sins. Lord Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen.